Welcome to the Community Conversations podcast, where we believe that world transformation begins with gospel transformation, and gospel transformation begins with discovering the truth about who God is and who you are. And it starts right now.
Hello again. Welcome to another episode.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
That is like your tagline, man.
It is, dude. It's a classic. I want to say that I came up with that one myself, but I grew up with that one. That's a classic. You didn't hear a lot of those in the Presbyterian church, did you?
That's so funny. And if you know, if you're at our church and if you didn't hear that, you'll hear it now.
You'll hear it now. It's kind of like when you know when you're shopping for a new car and you pick out the one you want, and then you hit the road and everyone's
driving the one you want.
Everyone. That's what you're going to start realizing with Give the Lord a Hand Clap of Praise. It's going to be everywhere. It's all over you.
Well, if you don't know, my name is Brian Hess, and I'm here with Noah Chant. I realize I should tell people my name just in case they don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Who knows who's listening to this?
You're like a ghost in the shadows for a lot of people. Just a voice with no name.
Honestly, we've joked about this, but, and I told you this, I don't know, it's a couple of weeks ago at this point. I was reading in Matthew, and it comes to the bit where Matthew writes about how, you know, Jesus chooses, you know, the 12 apostles.
Yeah.
And he lists them all. I'm just reading over those names, and I have this thought. I think, what does it take to have the effectiveness of Jesus and the obscurity of Bartholomew? Nobody knows who Bartholomew is.
Yeah, everyone's like, this guy was one of the 12. What do you do? No one really knows. He's just kind of always hanging out.
He was part of the group. He must have been doing everything all the other disciples were doing.
Yeah.
But somehow, for sure, he just kind of slid under the radar.
Just kind of. You wonder, too, like, how much of that is personal choice?
Sure.
By him.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder how much obscurity is us and how much obscurity is Christ.
Yeah.
Like, I think of, like, Eugene Peterson.
Yeah.
And even as I say this name, most people listening to this podcast,
most people have no idea who that is.
Exactly.
But they've read his stuff.
You know, for those that don't know, like, Eugene Peterson wrote the Message Bible, which I'm not saying the Message Bible is like the greatest. It's not a study Bible. Yeah. And he says that.
Sure.
He says, if you're looking to study the word, this isn't it. Eugene Peterson wrote the Message Bible because he had a lot of new converts that couldn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was a scholar in a sense. So he, you know, he translated the Bible. But he wrote the Message Bible, wrote a bunch of books that, yeah, I mean, just changed a lot of people's lives.
Yeah.
But led a church of about 200 people for 40 years and never traveled, never went and spoke anywhere, never really became a big itinerant. In the last, you know, 5 or 10 years of his life, he really kind of released himself to go do stuff. But mm-hmm. him and his wife bought a cabin out, I think it's near Lake Michigan, I could be wrong, and just lived out his days there till he passed away a couple of years ago. It's like,
if that's not the dream.
Just obscurity, man.
If that's not the dream, I don't know what
yeah.
is.
All the, he found the beauty of having all the, like, blessings of using what God gave him, but never had to really sacrifice his time or his life for it.
Yeah.
Which was cool.
He found a way to become highly influential.
Yeah.
Highly effective in his ministry.
Yep.
And just kind of coasted under the radar.
Yeah. Right. Because, like, everyone thinks Peter's great, like, until you're killed on a cross upside down, burning alive. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, man, that's the guy I want to be. It's like, do you?
Do you, though?
Because John got abandoned on the island of Patmos for quite some time.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oof. And so, yeah. You're right. There's an obscurity.
And, you know, it makes me wonder, too, you know, does that play into why Jesus was so often telling people, like, hey, don't tell anybody what just happened?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know your daughter just got raised from the dead. I know that's kind of a big deal. You're going to want to tell people. If you could just keep that on the down low for a while.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and that happens throughout the Gospels. He does these miraculous signs and he's like, hey, if you could not tell anyone, that'd really be awesome.
Right. You know what's crazy about that, too, is they all did. They all did tell people.
Yeah.
And I also find it interesting because I would say our theology in the current state of where we are would lean the opposite. But even though Jesus knew they would be disobedient, he still healed them.
Yeah.
Which is a very interesting thought.
Yeah.
Jesus was like, hey, I'm going to heal you, but like, don't tell anyone. They're like, sure. He get healed. They're like, you're never going to guess what Jesus did. And yet Jesus was not like, I'm not healing you.
Right.
Because you're going to leave and tell everyone.
Yeah.
You know, there was a sense of like, I think we would think like, I don't know. It's just, it's an interesting thought to me.
That yeah.
Like, you know, Jesus saw through like, hey, here's a command that you're not going to follow, but
right,
you're still healed.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, it's just very odd.
Yeah. Well, that feels like a good segue into what I really want to talk about.
Perfect.
All of that was just a freebie. That wasn't even.
Yeah, that was the free non-subscribed bonus content that you got on
exactly.
this one episode.
Exactly. Sometimes I describe stuff like that as like you go to a like a sporting event. You're at a football game. Yeah. You're having a good time. You're there for the football game, but then it's halftime or whatever. And they bring out the t-shirt cannons and they start firing t-shirts yeah. into the audience.
Yeah, it's just it's the like, extra.
I was here for the football game, but man, do I want to get hit with a t-shirt out of
now.
A cannon.
Yeah. To me, it's always like, to me, what we just did was the tater tot when you ordered fries in the bottom. You're like, hey, I didn't order tater tots, but I'll take one.
You're describing every trip I've ever had to Burger King. There's always like an onion ring.
Yeah. But like, who's mad?
Oh, I'm not mad about
it. Yeah, exactly. It's like, this has been a great day. Like, you could be foreclosing on your house, get that onion ring and them fries, and be like, you know what? Not the worst day I've had. You know, the Lord still moves.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about, I'll give a little bit, just a quick recap of some of the ground we've covered and why I wanted to lean into the topic we're going to talk about today. But we've talked a lot about hearing God's voice. The necessity of that.
Yeah.
We've talked about prayer and how foundational that is to the life of somebody who calls himself a follower of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for us to become people who develop a lifestyle of hearing God's voice and praying, one of the most important things, if not the most important thing that's unto, is allowing our minds to be renewed and to come into alignment with the truth of who God really is, what mm. his kingdom is like, and who he says we are.
Yeah.
We've mentioned this before. Eventually, we're going to talk a whole lot about our identity. Eventually,
yeah.
we're going to talk a whole lot about what it really means to be sons and daughters. Because while we've talked about that, we haven't really yet. But the thing is, before we do that, we have to lay, I think, is as much of a foundation as we can of what he is really like.
Mm-hmm.
What is his character like? What is his nature like? Because for as long as I misunderstand or mischaracterize who he is, I will forever misinterpret or misrepresent who he is.
Yep.
So I'll say that again. If I mischaracterize who the Lord is and I misunderstand who he is, I will continually misrepresent him.
Yeah, constantly.
And we can only represent him to the degree that we know him. And so it's pretty important that we get to know him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and yeah, especially with what feels like a divide between two books of Old and New Testament.
Yeah.
And two levels of what we would think is character.
Right.
And I think that's, you know, a complexity that we deal with that most, even like religions, whatever mm-hmm. you would say, don't.
Sure.
Is the complexity of what feels like seeing two different beings.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Should we talk a little bit more about that?
Sure.
While we're here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. That has always been like a really confusing thing for me throughout my life, having grown up in the church, like seeing and reading Old Testament and seeing and reading New Testament. And at times being like, I don't really understand yeah. why New Testament reads really differently
right.
than Old Testament.
Yeah.
And yeah. what's going on here? Because I don't want to create some doctrine where it's like, we're actually, there's two different gods or there's, you
right.
know.
Right, yeah.
And so we need to be careful
two
of that.
Two different beings.
We need to be careful of that. And so we do know, according to the Bible, according to the New Testament, we know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever,
mm-hmm.
that he doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
So the question needs to become, if he doesn't change, then what's going on between our perception of him, at least people's perception of him,
yeah,
in Old Testament times and New Testament times?
Yeah.
Because he's not changing.
No.
So if he's not changing, it must be our perception or our interpretation of him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I think, you know, I think the place you have to start with identifying God, and we've used this a lot, is that God is Christ-like.
Yeah.
That feels like an overemphasized statement, but
yeah,
God is Christ-like.
Right.
I think a lot of people have carried a theology or idea that Jesus is an aspect of Yahweh's personality.
Yeah, like he's the nice portion of him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's you know, he's God on a good day.
Right.
You know, and then like Egypt was God on a bad day.
Right. Jesus is the part of God who's trying to protect you from the part of God that's bad.
Yeah.
Is what oftentimes people sort of unknowingly or like subconsciously,
yeah,
develop that thought process.
Well, and like, you know, it is, and I think it's because, I don't know ever how to say this without, I think, feeling, without scaring, not scaring people, but making people maybe a bit trepidatious, in the sense that I think it's because we have a bad relationship with Scripture.
Hmm.
I think we have a bad relationship with Scripture in our definition of perfection with it.
Okay.
You know, is Scripture perfect? Yes, it is. Is Scripture human? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is it written by humans? Yeah. Nobody went into a trance,
mm-hmm,
woke up with their hand covered in ink and being like, what just happened?
Right.
You just wrote Deuteronomy, dude. Congratulations. You know what I mean? That's, yeah, not how it works.
Yeah.
You know, and I think our last year of Foundations, I did a class on the history of the Bible.
You did. It was awesome.
Yeah, and that was a very interesting one for people because, you know, you read some of these books and there's a lot of nuance not understood in them because, in a sense, yes, we are not supposed to question the Bible. Very true. But we're not supposed to question the truth in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah.
But we do have to dig to find the truth.
Yeah.
You know, there's little things, like I think, so here's an example. I believe it's in Deuteronomy. The Israelites are going, Joshua's taken over, and they're going to go attack this one city. And in Deuteronomy, it's written that it says, you know, God said, no, it may be all in Joshua. I think actually both these are in the same book of Joshua. Take that back. And in Joshua, early on, I think it's in like chapter 6 or 7, it says like, and the Lord commanded them to go in, destroy the city, leave no man, leave no woman, leave no child, leave no animal, leave nothing alive, destroy the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking like, good God, this is rough. You know what I mean? Like it's,
yeah,
wild, you know? Well, it's wild for some. Some people actually, well, I won't get into that, but I'll save that nugget for later. But, you know, we read that, and then you get about 12 chapters later, and it's describing the people that they brought from that town with them, the women, the children, and the livestock.
Hmm.
And you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That's not what you just said. You said you did it.
Right.
And now there's people.
Yeah.
Now there's women, now there's children, now there's slaves.
Yeah.
And like, there's a nuance in Scripture of understanding like narrative and story and purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And like, when Yahweh makes this statement of destroying this people group, it is about like, now it's very, we've very much less care about who we are.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a bit of an old soul. I love, like, especially old comedians.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I loved The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Sure.
And a big thing they would always do, especially in the early seasons, like in the 80s, is when you would talk about who you were, they would often ask your heritage, like, you Irish, you Scottish.
Oh, wow.
You Jewish.
Yeah.
Like, who you were mattered.
Mm-hmm.
And back then it was even bigger.
Yeah.
And this idea of wiping a nation off the face of the map was not about individual people as much as it was about the identity of, like, hey, you're going to go destroy the people of Jericho, and there'll be no festivals that Jericho held. There'll be no history of what Jericho had.
Wow.
There'll be no, you know, what's the word? Not routines, but traditions.
Sure.
That people from Jericho had that are to be left.
Wow.
This people group will not be a people group.
That's interesting.
This nation will not be a nation.
So the people, there will be individual people.
Yeah, there's people left.
But the culture they've known and the tradition they've known
is gone.
Is gone.
That's the command. That is the command.
That's really interesting.
You know, and so there's a sense in scripture where that we have to be able to, and I'm not saying that's coming from an external source. That's in the same one book of the, like, that's just Joshua. Yeah. Just keep reading the book and you'll see it. Like, yep. I'm not going, well, there's this book found in the desert that says people, like, this is the same book. It's Joshua. It's one book.
Right.
And so, like, I think when we read stuff, we immediately attribute the character of God to it,
mm-hmm.
without understanding the nuance of the situation of scripture and where it's at.
Sure.
And that is a big piece, because when we go, God is Christ-like and there's nothing in God that isn't in Christ, people mm-hmm. go, no, there's sides of God that's not like Jesus. It's like, no, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Yeah.
And the Word became flesh.
Yeah. And dwelt among us.
And dwelt among us. So if the Word became flesh, which is Jesus, uh-huh. and he was God, he is God.
Right.
In fullness, in totality.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, there's a place where you have to be able to read the Old Testament. And if you can't see Jesus when you read it, then Scripture doesn't have an incorrect lens. You have an incorrect lens.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's not something that's going to happen overnight. And that's right. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, the Pharisees knew the whole Torah, if not the entire Old Testament, by heart.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says, you've searched the scriptures for eternal life.
Yeah.
But the scriptures speak about me, and you refuse to come to me.
Right.
So don't live in the fear that, oh, man, I've got to have it now. No, people didn't have it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the importance of the Holy Spirit. But yeah, the character of God has to start with, he's Christ-like.
Mm-hmm.
And any point in scripture we don't see Christ, it's a place for us to review.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, that's really good. Yeah.
Because like I said, scripture, another one I point out in that class that I love, I believe it is, I believe it's the book of, Malachi, but I could be wrong. I have to look again.
Okay.
But I believe it's the book of Malachi where it talks about how it says, no, I think it's Jeremiah.
Okay.
Anyway, so in the book, it talks about how the guy who's writing this, because most of the people who wrote the Bible, like, they didn't write it, they spoke it, and they had a guy that was writing for them right there in the room.
Right.
So the guy writing the thing, like, says, hey, I'm so-and-so, I'm the guy writing this book. It's about, you know, Prophet Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. And he writes it all. And in the book, it says, so I turned this book in to the king of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
When we finished it, he didn't like it, tore it up, burned it. So I came back, and me and Jeremiah rewrote it. Goes, and then we added some stuff. And you go, okay, so, like, what wasn't worth the first edition?
Right.
And if the king would have liked it, what would we not have now?
Right.
That wouldn't have made the second edition of this book.
Yeah.
And immediately you go, like, that feels so human in scripture, doesn't it? Like, yeah. We got back and Jeremiah was like, you know, I totally forgot about the year I turned 49. We had some crazy stuff happen that year. Let's add that in there. You know, and that's like, that's the nuance in scripture, man, of like, you know, it doesn't take away from the divinity of scripture, but it does, to me, I think a lot of times it scares people, but it should excite people that scripture is human, mm-hmm. because Yahweh refuses to work outside of his creation. He wants to work with his creation,
yeah.
in his creation. He wants to use humans,
yeah.
even through shortcomings, yeah. and utilize them to do his will and to be in relationship.
Yeah. Everything with him is about partnership and friendship and yeah. doing things together.
Yeah.
Even to the extent of like the expanding of his kingdom here.
Yeah.
Kind of like, he's kind of like, hey, I need you guys. Just yeah. kind of up to you guys at
yeah,
this point.
Yeah, I'm kind of using you guys.
I've kind of given you everything there is.
Right.
You guys can do this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's like, so mm. I think we have to recognize the character of God is Jesus. And yes, I am wildly aware that Jesus's main purpose was to come and be the savior of the world. No denying. But a strong secondary purpose he talks about often is you've gotten my father wrong.
Yeah.
So I'm coming to reveal him to you.
Right.
It's not like, hey, you guys got it right, so I'm just coming to add a little punctuation. No, no, no.
Yeah.
You've got the guy wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You don't understand him.
Right.
And so I'm going to come and reveal him fully to you.
Right. Yeah, and that even comes back to what he told Pilate we talked about a few weeks ago. When mm-hmm. Jesus says, well, actually, the reason I've come is to bear witness to the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
Because as it turns out, a lot of people had a lot of ideas wrong.
Yeah.
About God, about heaven.
Yeah, and you see, and if you look, you will see little glimpses, little tiny like little moments in scripture where people are seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like David says in Psalm, it might be 19, I can't remember exactly which one, but he says, you do not desire sacrifice or blood, but you desire a contrite heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the law would say, no, no, he actually desires animal sacrifice with blood of a pure spotless lamb to the priest yeah. at the time.
Right.
And David gets this glimpse of, I'm actually seeing the character of this being now.
Right.
And it's actually not about that, actually, I've learned.
Yeah.
And the reason, you know, David has a heart after God's own heart is because David began to see God's heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which a lot of people didn't.
Right.
A lot of people did not see that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so, like, you see these glimpses of people starting to see truth,
mm-hmm.
and then it falls off again.
Sure.
It falls off again. And,
yeah.
and Jesus has to come and go, you guys have got it all messed up, man.
Yeah. You know, that reminds me, I noticed in Matthew chapters 9 and 12, there are these recurring conversations between him and the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, he keeps telling them, and it's one of the times is, I think one of the times is when it's Sabbath and the disciples are picking wheat and they're eating, and
yeah.
you know, and the Pharisees are all up, you know, they've got their panties in a bunch about that
one. As if they're just following them, eating wheat out in the middle of the field, by the way. That's a crazy story.
But there are these times where the Pharisees come and they keep accusing Jesus of these different things.
Yeah.
And one of his responses, that these recurring responses, as he tells them, he says, I wish you guys would go and learn what it actually meant when you read in the Old Covenant that I desire mercy, not sacrifice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And he keeps pointing back to like you guys.
I've been here the whole
time. For guys
who
know the scripture, you sure don't know the scripture.
I've been here the whole time.
I've been here the whole time. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and even scripture gets so misconstrued in the character of God because the covenant that we all live in now is the covenant given to Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, has anything to do with the law.
Mm-hmm.
And before we had, you know, standards and practices given to us by Israel, the standards and practices of this life that we're
yeah.
supposed to live according to the law of Moses, which I love that it's the law of Moses, not the law of God, but let that be a prophetic utterance right there to you. The law of Moses. The relationship and covenant of Scripture is originally found in God spoke, Abraham believed,
mm-hmm.
and covenant was made.
Yeah.
That's the original relationship.
Yeah.
Is God spoke, Abraham believed.
Yep.
And God made a covenant.
Yeah.
And that is richer and deeper. And tell me that's not Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus spoke. People believed. Salvation was made.
Yeah.
And it's this drawback of the character of Jesus has always been there.
Mm-hmm.
Our problem is, I think as a people group, we all have suffered moments of what we feel like is injustice.
Mm.
And so when we see the God of the Old Testament, or even maybe now, people get their just desserts, we're like, yeah,
mm-hmm.
at least someone's getting theirs. The guy that, you know, hit me and then ran off,
uh-huh.
or, you know, the person that, you know, screwed me out of this sale, or, you know, my ex-husband yeah. or wife or whatever,
mm-hmm.
my cousin did this. They never got theirs, but at least now I can go back and read the Old Testament and see that, you know, Egypt got their just, their just desserts, you know. God killed thousands of babies. Now uh-huh. I feel a lot better. Firstborn babies. Now I feel better about myself.
Yeah.
And it's like, go back and read scripture and see, you know, that, hey, there actually was first a man who believed in God
mm-hmm.
and a covenant was made
yeah.
and they had relationship.
Yeah.
And God came and sat at his fire and ate.
Yeah.
And took care of his family. And even when Abraham's family around him
mm-hmm.
began to doubt, he had to have another wife and another kid. He had to deal with that.
Yep.
God's covenant stood firm with a man who believed in the word of God.
Yeah.
And tell me that's not Christ.
Right. And he was called friends with God.
Yeah. He was called a friend with God, which is wild.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, one of the greatest statements apostles ever said is, and I don't have a theology for it, but the reality is God is looking for people who desire to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because we would say now, and I believe this statement, I'm not saying I don't, I believe this statement with every fiber of my being, that the way to relationship with God and to eternal life is through Jesus Christ. And I believe that.
Yeah.
But nobody told Enoch that.
Sure.
Nobody told Enoch that.
Yeah.
And no one told Enoch he was a sinner either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Enoch walked with Christ and said one day, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here. It says Enoch walked with God.
Yep. Wow.
you're telling me the guy that comes a couple thousand years later and says, no one has seen the Father except the Son? And then he says again in Luke that the Father has given the Son permission to whom he chooses to show the Father to.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Enoch walking with? The Father or the Son? You tell me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not telling me Christ isn't there the whole time?
Right.
We have to get this. That is the biggest thing people have to get out of their brain is there's like a, you know, like a three-headed dragon known
right.
as the Trinity.
Right.
There's yeah. not.
Yeah.
There's God as man, who's Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and there's their spirit, which is the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's three in one.
Yeah.
There is an individuality there. They're wanting you to understand.
Yeah.
But it's the same dude.
But it's the same.
It's
yeah.
the same dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is really hard. It's really hard to wrap, I think even for me, my mind around the concept that scripture is both divinely inspired
uh-huh.
and inerrant.
Yeah.
And has tons of human influence in it as well.
Yeah, it is.
It's really hard to, you know, to wrap our minds around that.
Yeah, it's a hard thought. And I think it's because, well, I'll make a statement. I'll just throw it out there.
Go for it.
We'll see what happens. If I'm not here next week, it's because I was given my notice. No, I'm just kidding. I think people have grown up with such a lack of teaching or belief they can commune with God
mm.
that people have been taught, like, you better read this book, which they should.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that. But it's their, for a lot of people, it is their only gateway to him.
Yeah.
And so it has to be exactly how it is right now in this second.
Yeah.
because like I'm not going to go talk to the guy myself. Right?
Right.
I'm not going to go get answers for any of this myself.
Well, and unfortunately for a lot of people, the belief is, well, we have the book, so he's kind of out of the picture.
Yeah, he's done speaking.
He's done speaking. Yeah. He gave us the book, so what do I need to talk to him for?
Sure. Yeah. You know? Thank God Paul didn't think that, but whatever, yeah. Right. Thank God Peter didn't, you know, write the gospel, you know, help write Mark and then go, we don't need a first, second, and third Peter. It's fine. It's fine. That was enough. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, thank God that never happened.
Right.
Because, you know, the thought process that God has done speaking is untrue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he is revealing, you know, the scripture talks about the great mystery and it says he is revealing, not revealed, revealing.
Yeah.
And unfolding this.
Yeah.
Throughout the current age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even Jesus told the disciples when he was promising the Holy Spirit would come, he's like, guys, he's going to lead you into all truth and he'll show you what's to come.
Yeah.
He's coming and he's going to be very active.
He's not too dumb. Right. He's not the dumbest guy in the world. And you know, and there's a piece of it where people, I think people have been given such a bad image of their self. They have no assurity or thought that God would speak to them like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yahweh's not going to reveal secrets to me.
Right.
Because I'm Noah.
Yeah.
And I've done this, and I've done that, and I've been this, and I've done this, and I've said this.
Right.
And they have such a bad view of self, it's like, well, he's not going to do that to me.
Right.
It's like, well, Peter wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Peter, and him and Paul almost got in a fist fight because Peter was being such a jerk. You know what I mean? Yeah. Paul basically tells John Luke with, not Timothy, but who is it? Is it Titus? Or no, Silas. He tells him, you know, he's like, listen, if this guy's going with me, he's like, I'll kill everyone. I'm not doing this. I'm not traveling with this guy. This guy's an idiot. You know? And we're like, golly, dude.
Yeah.
You know, he tells Silas, he's like, I'm not doing this with this dude. This guy sucks. I'm out. You know, it's like, so, you know, like, these guys, as holy as they were, don't think they weren't going through process.
Yeah.
But understanding who they were.
Right.
And Peter is so honest to make the statement in 1 Peter. He's like, look, even our brother Paul's saying some stuff that, like, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense to me, man.
This is
like,
beyond
you're way ahead of the game here.
Yeah.
And so they never let their current state deny that the state that Jesus declared over them. Mm-hmm. I think people have such a bad view of self. It's like, I need the Bible because he's not going to talk to me.
Right.
I'm never going to get any of what this is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you're called to write books of the Bible, but he is called to speak to you and to your life and to reveal things to you.
Yeah.
I'm glad there's been men who have led revivals and done things throughout the age and not just sat and thought, man, the upper room would have been cool to be at. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm so glad that the Welsh revival happened. Mm. And they didn't go, well, let's not do anything. Like, they already had the upper room. Let's just keep reading that story.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Or I'm glad, like, Azusa Street happened. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, all these different revivals. I'm glad Brownsville happened.
Sure.
And that no one has settled for what was, but is continuing to, you know, try to understand that there's a new wineskin being built.
Yeah.
And like, and that comes with understanding the identity of God, understanding that he's speaking to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he is loving.
Yeah.
If he made a promise with Abraham, who told everyone in the town that his wife was his sister.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like, yeah, you can have her, just don't kill me.
Right.
Like, I think you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
I think you're going to be okay. Because Paul says in Romans that when Abraham believed God, he was counted as righteous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you believe Jesus, what makes you not righteous?
Exactly.
Come on.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I want to talk more about that. Really quick, let's take a pause and hear a word from our sponsor.
Looking for the perfect Airbnb getaway? Look no further than Maggie's Place, your ticket to an unforgettable stay in Sevierville, Tennessee. Nestled in the heart of the stunning Smoky Mountains, Maggie's Place is not just an Airbnb, it's an experience you won't want to miss. This charming 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath townhome offers all the comforts of home with a touch of Tennessee charm. Imagine waking up to the serene beauty of the mountains, sipping your morning coffee on the porch, and planning your day of adventures in the Smokies. And the best part is, Maggie's Place is just minutes away from all the attractions, dining, and entertainment that Sevierville has to offer, not to mention close to Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg. Ready to make your Smoky Mountain dreams come true? Visit Maggie's Place on Airbnb today to book your stay and start creating unforgettable memories. For more information, contact Kim Balistrieri at 770-548-0902.
All right, so let's, before that, before we took a break, you were talking about this idea that, and this is, you know, one of the great stumbling blocks for modern day Christians is this idea that we need to hear God's voice. We need to talk to him.
Yeah.
We need to sit at his feet so that he can tell us what he's like.
Right.
How much he loves us and who we are. But the very thing that I need to do, I'm afraid to do because I don't think I'm worthy of that.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And like, what a great stumbling block.
Oh yeah.
And that's, I think that's the thing that if we could get people past the hurdle, if we could get, I'll say it this way. If we could just get Christians everywhere in a place where they have eliminated any thought that they are unworthy,
yeah,
that they're unloved, that they're, you know, anything, yeah, basically everything that opposes the truth of, yeah, who they really are in God's eyes. If we could get to a place where we eliminate those thoughts and we feel free, and I mean truly free, not just free, but like wanted in the presence of God. We're actually wanted in his presence, that he wants us to come to him. He wants us,
yeah,
to look at him. He wants us to talk to him. If we could eliminate those like preventative thoughts, I mean, how would the world change?
Oh my God.
If every person in the world who called themselves a follower of Christ, if every single person,
yeah,
eliminated the thought or the fear that, well, I probably shouldn't talk to him, or, you know, I didn't do well today or this week, and so, yeah, he probably doesn't really want to hear from me, or,
yeah,
doesn't really care about what I have to say, yeah, or, you know,
yeah,
and every person just spent their days in communion with the Holy Spirit,
right,
being led by him,
yeah,
allowing him to reveal truth.
Oh. You know what I think it would create in us? I have this thought sometimes. When you, like, if I tell you, like, hey, I'm going to come to your house in like 20 minutes, you're not very bothered if the house isn't picked up. But like, if you tell Katie's probably gonna be like, oh my God, let's clean up all this stuff. Let's get all these toys put up. Let's just fix it. You know what I mean? And you're itching for like, let him get caught in like 10 minutes of traffic. So I got a little more time to get everything together.
Yeah. Maybe not if you were coming over, but somebody.
Maybe not if I was coming over.
Your family, yeah, let's be honest.
That's true. That's
but
true.
Somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll just be happy if you put on a shirt. No, but I think you can relate this to that idea in the sense, right now we're in a state of, Jesus, just come back and kill all the bad people and let's just go to heaven and end this mess.
Mm-hmm.
That's the message.
Yeah.
And I think a real Christological view of ourselves, the kingdom, who we're called to be, what we're called to bring here,
mm-hmm,
would actually release in us, hey, don't come back yet, because we want to make this thing look exactly how you want it.
Right.
Don't come back because, yeah, guess what? We've got work to do, but when you get here, this thing's going to look like a spotless bride.
Wow.
Get ready.
Wow.
When you get to the house, everything's going to be picked up. All the chairs are going to be in place. And I think there's a place in love where you go, hey, just hold off a little longer.
Wow.
Because, man, we can get this thing looking good.
That is like the antithesis of what many people are praying for.
Right now, exactly. You know, the message right now is like, you know, oh man, there's conflict in the Middle East, which means the Lord must be coming back. And they're sad about the conflict, but excited about leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, and I mean, I, at the the end of the day, this is the, I feel like, you know, like Apostle Paul, like, this is who I am and this is the message I preach.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's like, this is who I am and this is the message I constantly preach of kingdom society, in the sense of, like, actually, we are called to make this place look just like it was designed to be.
Yeah.
Shocker, I know.
Yeah. It'd be crazy if the kingdoms of man, the kingdoms of earth reflected the kingdom of heaven.
If the kingdoms of this world looked like the kingdoms of our God, that would be odd, right? It would be odd for God to start a work on this planet and want to finish it. Wouldn't that just be crazy? That God chose this planet, made this thing what it was.
Right.
And that Adam was, I guess, so powerful that God just is going to have to nuke the whole thing. Not true.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's this concept, I think, where people get so loved that they forget about fear and worry, and they move into purpose and position and authority and creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about that.
Yeah.
You know, the idea that, like, once we can understand that we are loved, we will go, let's get to work.
Mm-hmm.
Not works.
Right.
But let's get to work.
Yeah.
Let's enjoy this.
Yeah.
And the message of the kingdom has way less to do with you stopping sinning and way more to do with you bringing heaven to earth.
Right.
That the realm of the kingdom to earth. I don't even like the term. I find when we use the word heaven, it just carries some stuff.
Yeah.
And I prefer the word kingdom.
Right.
And going, hey, the kingdom is here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it. Let's bring it here.
Yeah. It turns out the kingdom that we're citizens of, actually everything that, I can't remember what the scripture is. I know it's in the Passion Translation that says, you know, we have access to everything that God is and to what he has, you know.
Yes.
That actually all resides within us.
Right now.
And it actually just takes us agreeing with that.
Right.
And partnering with the Lord to say, okay, if your kingdom, everything in your kingdom dwells within me, what is it going to take for me to make my external surroundings submit to that?
Right. Well, and even that's what apostles were.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked a lot about this before. The job, Rome, the reason Rome was so successful at conquering most of the world was not because they brought everybody into submission, but that eventually they made everybody else feel like Romans.
Right.
And so when Rome would conquer an area, they would send an apostle in,
mm-hmm.
or they would send in some, you know, a couple people to bring in the culture, where eventually you didn't feel like somebody from Turkey who was conquered by Rome.
Right.
No, you were Roman now.
Mm-hmm.
You carried Roman DNA. You had the standards and the practices and the traditions and the history of Rome now.
Yeah.
And the call, and that's why throughout the world you begin to see them be like, we are one nation.
Mm-hmm.
It changed how dominance was done.
Yeah.
And that's what the kingdom is you don't go into a town and you go, like, we're just going to go to our church and sit in our room together and pray that just God either kills all the sinners or something.
Yeah.
But it's actually through your workplace, through your family, through school, through everything that you're involved in,
mm-hmm.
you now become this, in a sense, you carry this apostolic anointing on you because you sit under, hopefully, an apostle.
Right.
But you carry this apostolic anointing that you're hearing from your leadership, that you go in and you change every area of you around you to mm-hmm. the kingdom, and people start going, oh, I live in the kingdom now.
Yeah.
I actually belong to something else.
Right.
You know, I love the way Brian Simmons translates it. I think it's in Ephesians where he says, you know, we are a heavenly colony on earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
You know, we're supposed to be colonizers,
mm-hmm.
you know, pilgrims.
Yeah.
And that's different. And that's where you go, okay, Lord, don't come yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because this can look great. And I want it to look awesome for you.
Yeah. You had a vision for this planet.
Yeah.
And I want to help you see that to fruition.
Yeah. You want to fix every time my family would come in for Thanksgiving, my mother would be like, clean out your closet. Like, for who? Like, who's coming to look in my closet and go, we're never coming back to this house again. Noah's got old clothes and socks in his closet and we're never returning here. You know, but there's this place of you that you want everything to be in a state of excellence,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's what my parents desired in that. And so, like, you know, for us, there's this place we move into of love, creativity, authority, purpose, meaning, where we go, all right, let's get to work.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to stop being an accountant anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to show you what being an accountant unto Christ is.
Right.
I'm not going to stop doing logistics anymore.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to show you what doing logistics under Christ can look like.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you that I can be whole and still do this and be full and still do this and take care of my family, have insight and right. care.
Yeah. I'll show you what it looks like to be in business and create situations where everybody wins, everybody prospers,
right.
everybody thrives.
Yeah. I'm not rich and you're poor and,
right.
and now you're divorced because I got you working 60, 70 hours a week and you're now right. your wife hates you. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're all in this together. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah.
And that is a different thing, and that's what we're called to do. But unfortunately, the West has turned this into a proclamation and declaration of who you're not and how awful you are.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you get to that place?
Right.
How can you get to the place where you're called to change a region when you don't even believe you're saved?
Yeah. If I feel hopeless to have that kind of impact on just my own personal life, my family and my home, what in the world can I possibly do for my city?
Right. Right. Exactly. Well, yeah, and that's where I am now, even in a place of like Yahweh is not that I've had a bad definition, but just really ironing out some things as husband and father.
Mm.
Of
yeah.
the husband I'm called to be and the father I'm called to be.
Sure.
And as spiritual sons, you know, spend time in my home and with my family and see me raise Benjamin and be with Bailey. Like they're going to take that as a blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
And so like that is a way I'm bringing the kingdom realm here.
Yeah.
Is showing young men.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you treat your wife.
Right.
This is how you raise your children.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. I talked about this before. I learned a lot about, you know, communication and marriage just by hanging out with you and Katie early on.
Mm.
A lot, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even finances, you know, Brian, you have the ability to turn a dollar into 40 somehow. I don't know how. It's money laundering. We won't get into that, but you do. You have the ability to budget and take care of your family, and it's like I've gleaned from some of that because of your discipline. But that only comes because you've allowed people in and you've shown people the kingdom way.
Yeah.
That a little can be a lot when you follow the plan
sure.
in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, we've just got to get people over this hurdle.
Yeah, it comes back to understanding and it leads back to the beginning of you have to understand who you are, but you cannot get there without understanding who he is.
You can't.
It's you cannot reverse the cycle.
Yep. You just can't do it.
No, you can't. And people are convinced when they can discover how righteous they are, they'll learn how good he is.
Yeah.
But you have to learn how good he is to discover how righteous you
right.
are.
Right. Yeah. That reminds me of I'm about 99% sure it's Psalm 119:68. And it starts with David saying, "You are good and you do good things."
Yeah.
And I think that order is really important, that you are good and you do good things.
Yeah.
In other words, everything he does is good, but that's because he's good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes it can be easy, and I'll bring this back to what I said at the very beginning, it can be really easy to misinterpret what we think he's doing or what he's like.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy to misinterpret that and think, well, he doesn't seem good, he doesn't seem safe, he doesn't seem like he loves me, he doesn't seem like he's interested in protecting me or providing mm-hmm. for me. And what happens is we will make I'll call it like an unvalidated assumption on what we think he's like. We'll misinterpret his action, and then we'll attribute that to his character.
Yeah.
And because we attribute that to his character, we'll assume that, and I think this is such a natural progression to where, like you said, we, in order to understand ourselves, we have to understand him.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as we misunderstand him, we'll continually misunderstand ourselves.
Yep.
And so you cannot walk around thinking that there's a God out there who's unloving, who's unkind, who's unsafe. You can't go around thinking that while ever understanding truth about yourself
yeah.
and what you're capable of.
Yeah. And you will, a lot of times people will Google and search through scripture to find one scripture to validate their opinion. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, well, I should always be sad. It's like, well, where are you getting that from? Well, the scripture says Jesus wept. Okay. Yeah. And so I'm just a very cryy person. Right. And I'm going to live in my sorrow and my sadness.
Have you ever read Lamentations?
Yeah. Have you ever read? You ever read Ecclesiastes? Come on, man. So, you know, like you can read scripture and try to validate anything you want.
Right.
And twist things and move things however you want to.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can't do is twist things like, because of your faith in Jesus, you now have peace with God. Can't twist that around, can you?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't.
Yep.
You know, because of your faith in Jesus, now Christ, you know, now God or Christ's righteousness has been transferred unto you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't twist that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if you're going to truly understand the character of God, if you're truly going to understand the depths of what he's like, how much he loves you, how kind he is, you have to take in the story as a whole.
You do.
You have to take in the story as a whole.
Yeah,
yeah. And like you said, you can't look at a single verse and say like, well, this makes God seem
right
angry and unkind. Right. So that's how he is.
Sure.
It's like actually, let's put that into the greater context of the world, of history, of everything in the Bible,
of Christ himself,
and literally everything. If you look at it throughout the, you know, if you look at life, history, whatever, in the context of everything that God has done from the beginning to now, you realize that it's actually just telling a story of a God who loves more. We cannot even comprehend what his love means to us.
Yet. No.
We've not even comprehended that.
No.
How much he loves us.
No.
And that's what the story is trying to point to.
Yeah. And oftentimes people hear this and they go, okay, but where's like justice and holiness? And where is, you know what I mean? All these things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, well, they're found inside of love.
Yeah.
They're found inside of love.
Yeah.
You know, it says all these different things that God carries or cares about, you know, but he is, the fiber of his being is love.
Mm-hmm.
The genetic, scripture says this, not Noah, says that God is love. So the genetic makeup of his being is love.
Yep.
Justice lives in that. Mercy lives in that. Grace lives in that.
Mm-hmm.
All these things. Anger lives in that.
Right.
But he is love. So until we can access love, we are unable to access the other things correctly.
Yeah, that's good.
God says, for Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. But because God is love, he understands hate and you don't.
Right. Is it possible that for him to hate something is actually an entirely different thing than for us to hate something?
Exactly. And is there a possibility that you don't even have love down, so why are you trying hate? You don't even have love down.
Boom.
Roasted. Don't worry about justice right now. Learn love.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing with this message. Like, there has been some conversations around the idea of, I get it now. I'm as righteous as God. I get it now. You know, I'm as holy as. It's like, well, you don't look like Jesus yet.
Right.
So do you?
Yeah.
What type of ignorance does it take to say you have this down and yet hospitals are full?
Mm-hmm.
What type of ignorance does it say you have this down and broken people are around you?
Yeah.
What type of ignorance does it take to say you have this down and you're still struggling financially?
Yeah.
What type of ignorance does it take to say that?
Yeah.
And we are so focused on all these other things. It's like, find out that he's love. Find out that he loves you.
Yeah.
Find out that you're called to love him.
Yeah.
And watch how justice and mercy and anger and all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
Become, it's like we talked about it a couple weeks ago, you know, the fruit of the spirit is love, then it goes in all these other things, and we've taken it as all these different fruits.
Mm-hmm.
But the scripture is broken up with like almost a Greek style semicolon in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's saying that the fruit of the spirit is love.
Yep.
And inside of love, here are the branches.
Yep.
Mercy, long suffering, peace, mm-hmm. joy, all these things. Yep. But the fruit
mm-hmm.
with a hard T, big T.
Yeah.
The fruit of the Spirit is love.
Mm-hmm.
And bite into it.
Yeah.
Get into it and find out all these branches live in it.
Mm-hmm.
But the access into the what we would call the fruits of the Spirit
right.
are actually found in the fruit of the Spirit, right. which is love.
Yeah.
And that is who God is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to discover who God is, find love.
Yeah.
And go from there.
Yeah.
And it sounds I think the fear a lot of people have is that sounds a bit like hippie, like. Mm. But you know, like I share this all the time. My parents, growing up, they spanked me.
Mm-hmm.
I needed it, a lot of them.
Sure.
But I never lost relational equity with my parents, where I knew that what they were doing was not for my own good,
mm-hmm.
because we loved each other.
Right.
I never got hit from my father, spanked by my mother, and thought, you know what? They don't love me.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I knew my cause in that. I knew the situation. I understood that was out of love to make me who I'm called to be. But right. that only happened because I knew I loved them and I knew they loved me.
Sure.
Yeah. And if that would have happened outside of that realm, we would have, our relational equity would not have been there. We could have not have become what we are.
Sure.
But yep, it's through the, it's, you know what I mean? It's through the visor yep. or the lens of love, I should say.
Yeah.
That all that is found. So quit looking for justice right now.
Mm-hmm.
Quit looking for anger.
Yeah. If you want to understand those things, understand love.
Understand love.
That's really good.
And I can take a safe assessment and say for myself and everyone I know around me, we don't understand love fully yet.
Right.
So for all of you that think you're there, breaking news, you're not.
This is a way I felt like the Lord put it to me a while ago. This idea that, like, and we do this often. We'll hear, even, you know, when I introduced the topic for this episode, the character of God.
Yeah.
There's potential that people listening would kind of check out thinking, like, oh, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
He's good. He loves me. Blah, blah, blah. Sure. I get it. I've heard it, you know?
Yeah.
And part of that is because our brains are literally wired to, I was just hearing somebody explain this, so fascinating, but one of our brains, like, chief jobs is to conserve calories. And one of the ways it does that.
That sucks.
One of the ways it does that is, well, because thinking, people don't realize this. I didn't realize this, but thinking and critically thinking requires a lot of calories.
Sure.
It takes a lot of calories. And so your brain, if it starts to hear something that it thinks it already knows, it'll say, oh, we can shut down for a bit.
Mm.
Let's go ahead and go into sleep mode.
That's
and
good.
So there's something, you know, we need to do in the way of being intentional of saying, actually, do I get this? Do I really, really get this to the degree
this, yeah.
that I need to?
Yeah.
But for me to say, or for you to say, hey, Brian, let's talk about, you know, the character of God. Let's talk about righteousness. Let's talk about love. Whatever, all of those topics are things I'm pretty well versed in. But for me to say, to kind of power down and say, oh, I got it. I can kind of check out. I understand yeah. righteousness. What's happening is, for me to say, I already know that, it implies that at one point in my life, maybe I didn't really understand it, but then I learned something, and now I do think I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned, whether it's love, righteousness, the prodigal son, the gospel, whatever it is, if I learned something that probably served as some kind of a catalyst for my growth and my maturity, right, to some degree. Yeah. But for me to now say, I actually don't need to hear that anymore because I get it. What's happening is the revelation that once served as a catalyst for my growth is now the very thing that's preventing me from continuing growing.
Wow.
Because I've determined, oh, sure. I've got it.
Yeah. I've put my yeah. flag in the ground. I've done it.
Yeah. So the thing that, you know, the thing that caused my past growth is now preventing future growth.
That's good.
Because, because I have decided, yeah. oh, I get righteousness.
Would you say too, a piece of that is attached to our lack of awareness that truth is like layered and unfolding constantly?
Sure. I think that's a part of it.
You know what I mean?
Like, yep.
there's this idea of like, okay, like you've now,
mm-hmm.
like I've now preached the message that you're as righteous as God, I don't know, 40 times in the past two
sure.
years.
Yeah.
It's like, everyone's like, okay, got it.
Right.
It's like, well, you may have a small piece of this now. You're getting it.
I believe you have more than you had.
Sure. Oh man, you can see it in the room. You can feel it.
Yeah. But do you have the whole pie yet?
This is a 7-layer dip, and you haven't got past like the initial layer of hummus on the top.
You're still tasting sour cream right now.
Yeah. There's beans at the bottom that are made to be consumed, and they haven't been touched yet. Right. But it's this thing of like, okay, well, the truth I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the other piece of what you're saying, too, is attached to that the milk of the kingdom doesn't feel sexy anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I'm as righteous as God. Great. Talk to me about the Nephilim. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I get it. You know what I mean? Like, God loves me. I love him. But like, talk to me about angels.
Yeah.
Like, what do I do about the fact that, you know, Lazarus came back from the dead?
Yeah, I get it. God is good, but tell me about the Jezebel spirit.
Yeah.
It's like, well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where is Goliath's head at, and where could I find it on a map? You know, and it's like this stuff has lost its sexiness because, I don't know how we always end up back here, but we do. I think for a lot of us, the fulfillment of who I am in Christ becomes or gets put on pause until Christ comes back.
Mm.
So it's like, I know I'm righteous and holy, and God's going to finish that when he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
So let's discover some weird stuff while we're waiting. It's like, well, no, you don't actually get yet. That's all fully available. The statement I've made to, you know, our people, and now I feel like people know it more than ever, is the only thing not promised to you right now is the new body.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
And so, but I think we've lived our lives of like, okay, I've been saved. Everything's on hold as far as my righteousness, my holiness.
Mm-hmm.
I'll move on.
Yeah.
So let me get into some weird stuff while I'm waiting.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
It's like, no. You've missed the whole thing.
Right.
There's sick people around you. Like there's, you know what I mean? There's dying people around you.
Yeah.
You don't need to hear about the Nephilim.
Right.
You need to know you're loved and you're righteous because you need access to the same power. When Jesus sends out the 72 in Luke, it says they came with the message and with demonstration of healing and miracles.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's both.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have that.
Right.
After that, we can talk about, you know, the seven-headed figure with the, you know, or the big statue in Daniel with feet of iron and heels of clay and iron.
Yep. Boy, that's good. All right. Well, that actually brings us to about an hour. So let's close this out.
Zoomed by.
I know.
Zoomed by.
Yeah. So for our community group listeners, I want you to spend time really actively thinking this week, like what you really think God is like, and be really honest with yourself. Be really honest. If you find that throughout your week, throughout your days, there are moments where you question his love for you, or whether you question, you know, should you be engaging in worship or prayer on the basis of your behavior, start to think. Become aware of those thoughts and think about the way you think and bring those to him, because I promise you he wants nothing more than for you to come and sit on his lap and to just talk to him and be with him and let him love on you and let him tell you what he's like, let him tell you who you are. So spend some time thinking about that. Community group leaders, I would say, just get ready to discuss that with your people, and just to discuss the reality of God's character and God's nature. Noah, do you have any closing thoughts?
No. Like I said, lean into his nature and lean into understanding that the fruit of this entire journey is love.
Yeah.
It's the gateway.
Yep. Yep. All right. Well, once again, thank you for listening. We love you. Have a good week.